So let's move into our quick hits, and let's start, as always, with our biggest surprise of the week.
Yeah, for me, it's a game on the Palouse. Washington State over Arizona State, 37-27. Now, the story in this game probably should be the fact that a freshman quarterback by the name of Connor Halliday set a school record for freshmen at the school, throwing for 494 yards, four touchdowns. And Arizona State allows the sixth most passing yards in school history against a freshman seeing his first extensive playing time. Maybe that should be the story. The bigger story is that Arizona State has collapsed to a degree that may cost Dennis Erickson his job, and that was not even on our radar screen before the UCLA game. This team was sitting pretty heading into that UCLA game, and in the last 2 weeks, they've been so bad that you went from not even close to the hot seat to firmly on it and maybe about to lose your job, and that's how bad the defense has played under Dennis Erickson, maybe the worst in his tenure at Arizona State, and just an embarrassing performance against a team that they've beaten I don't even know how many times in a row. So, you know, this is a game that Washington State could save its bowl eligibility. On the other hand, Arizona State has not only embarrassed itself, but the entire South Division right now.
Yeah, the South is a complete sham at this point, yeah. Especially with UCLA taking the momentum of that Arizona State win and going into the snow in Utah and just getting beat up. So the winner of the South right now is not going to impress anybody, but that begs the question for me. If Arizona State wins the Pac-12 South, which I still expect them to, I believe you do as well, what do they have to do against Oregon for Dennis Erickson to keep his job?
I mean, you know, at that point, they would be sitting in a position where, with a solid enough performance, with a decent-looking performance, a decent bowl may take a shot on them. You're looking at a bowl like the Holiday Bowl, or maybe they even find a way into the Alamo Bowl, though I doubt that. I think he would have to have a better performance for his team against Oregon than they did the first time around, which was a competitive game, actually. That was still at a point in the season where they were playing competitive. They lost the game in the second half, but he would have to get his team to commit enough to playing defense again that they at least look decent against Oregon, because if they play Oregon right now the way they're playing, they'd lose by 60. I think Dennis Erickson's job is firmly on the line, and if he doesn't at least lose that game by 10 or less points, his job may be over.
Sticking with the state of Arizona, the Arizona Wildcats not only lose to Colorado, but they give up 48 points to Colorado. This Colorado team didn't have a pulse in Pac-12 play. Didn't really have a pulse all season. But then when you actually look at the game, Rodney Stewart rushes for 181 yards and three touchdowns. Maybe it's not that big of a surprise that one of the worst rushing defenses, certainly in the Pac-12 and maybe in the nation, gets torched.
I mean, the story for Arizona State, it was the passing game. They can't stop anybody in the air. For Arizona, the year all year has been they cannot stop the run. And it's just been the story. It's the same story. Mike Stoops prides himself as a defensive coordinator. When he recruited these guys up front, they're still there. It's still his players. But they have given up on playing any kind of run defense. And Rodney Stewart's a decent enough back. He took advantage of it. But 48 points to Colorado is inexcusable.
Nick Foles throwing three interceptions, too, against a Colorado defense that hasn't shown much was also fairly inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that appears like it's quit, and the coaching staff has quit, which they're all going to be gone anyway. They're retreads from Mike Stoops' group. But it just looks like a team that's ready to go to the offseason and find a new identity. And if that's the case, then they'll finish up soon here and with a couple more losses.
Now, looking at games we're looking forward to, in a week that there aren't a whole lot of games, in my opinion, that are all that exciting, and even you look at a game like Nebraska-Michigan, which is between two ranked teams, but there's nothing on the line with Michigan State essentially having that division wrapped up. The game I'm looking forward to is Toledo at Central Michigan. A MAC game on a Friday night. Now, if you've been paying attention to the MAC conference this year, they are clearly the highest offensive conference in all of college football. And you talk about people not respecting Conference USA. I mean, the MAC is a total joke. But they kind of embrace that, I feel like. The last two games that Toledo has played in during the week on a nightly game on national television, two Tuesday night games, they lose to Northern Illinois 63-60. and they bounce back the following week to beat Western Michigan 66-63. So we've seen over 120 points of offense in Toledo's last two games. I don't know that Central Michigan is going to get to 60, but I do know that we're probably going to see at least 100 points worth of offense in this game, and that's fun. The people that hate college football and prefer the pros are the type of people that turn this game on Friday night and say, what in the world is this garbage? But I like some good old-fashioned nonsense.
My advice to those people, watch LSU play Alabama. You know, watch the SEC. Enjoy college football when you're not watching the NFL. Leave the fun Maction games to guys like us.
The Maction.
For me, you know, I look at a game actually in the ACC. Again, we're looking a little off the board this week because it's one of those weeks where there's not that much to look for. But Virginia is headed to Florida State this week. And I didn't think Virginia would make our podcast this year, to be honest with you, but I'm glad they have.
A couple of debuts this week.
A couple debuts. Florida State's back in the top 25. We talked about how we like the way they've been playing recently, and it's good to see them finally under Jimbo Fisher, reeling off now five straight wins to climb back after a win over Miami and climb back into the position that they probably expected a lot more than this, but at least they're playing their best football at the end of the year. The Cavaliers, on the other hand, they've won five of their last six, and they're actually still in the hunt for the ACC Coastal Division. If they can somehow knock off Florida State on the road, it sets up a game with Virginia Tech on successive weekends that are going to make them really in position to have a special year. I like the running back Perry Jones for Virginia. I think they're streaking at the right time. It's a tall task to ask them to beat Florida State, but it would be a really nice story for a program that was kind of left for dead. Nobody talks about Virginia, and they've played better defense than we thought. They've given teams some struggles that we didn't expect them to be competitive with. Maybe they make a run at this thing.
Yeah, they were one of the teams that put Georgia Tech into that slump that they were in. This team has been pretty darn decent this year. They're going in the right direction. I don't think they have a legitimate shot against Florida State, but this is a Florida State team that, yes, they're trending in the right direction now, but they've shown us games where they haven't brought their best. This could be a closer game than an initial sweep over would indicate.
So moving on to upset alert, and for me, this is a game that I might maybe could have argued for game I'm looking forward to. You know, it depends on how you feel about a realistic chance here, but SMU goes to Houston, and we've obviously talked a lot about Houston, but this SMU team, coached by June Jones, they had a game against TCU where they go on the road, and in overtime, they find a way to knock off TCU, and they're going to have a similar game to have any chance, but as we know, TCU's pretty good, and Houston and TCU, it's comparable in terms of that opponent level, and they're going back into another hostile environment. I mean, this is a game that, if you look at it, Zach Lyon, the running back, he's run for 17 touchdowns, 6th in the country in rushing. I think that if they get him going, Houston's allowed 858 yards on the ground in their last four games. So realistically, if SMU can get a ground game going, they might actually have a chance.
Yeah, it's so hard to believe that a June Jones team has such a dominant running back this year. But they do have a chance. This Houston team, they've been cruising right along, but they have had defensive lapses this season. And I give SMU a bit of a chance. I also think it's worth noting that Houston, all of a sudden in the driver's seat and controlling their own destiny for a BCS bowl game, a dream result for them, that could get into their heads a little bit. This isn't a team that's used to dealing with this kind of success.
I mean, the difference between a BCS game and the Liberty Bowl is massive, and I know Houston's got that on their mind, but could that put the kind of extra pressure on them that may actually cause them to stumble? We'll find out. They haven't been in this position in a while.
And for me, my upset alert is Kansas State. I was a bit surprised to see them as an 8-point underdog to Texas. You know, I think these teams are very comparable. They both had bad losses to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and Texas is coming off of a pretty lousy game against Missouri. I think Kansas State has a really good shot at winning this game. They've clearly imposed their will on most teams they've played this year. They had the awesome 4-overtime game last week against a very good Texas A&M team. I think this is a coin flip of a game, mm-hmm. and a game that Texas kind of needs to win because Texas has been forgotten this year. They've just been completely with all the teams that have been doing so well in the Big 12. I kind of leave Texas out of my brain, which is surprising because this was the face of the conference for so long. This is a game they need to win to kind of reestablish that next year maybe they start getting back into the picture. But you've brought up David Ash a couple times on the program. I don't think he's all that good. I think this defense could force this team to be one-dimensional and be a running team, and this game could go right down to the wire.
I mean, it's just they're coming off of an uninspiring performance, 5 points against Missouri. It's not an offense that there's a whole lot to like about right now, which is why, like you said, they need to inspire their fan base again, inspire their program, start playing the kind of football on offense that we're used to seeing from a Texas team. But no, the quarterback position's a struggle. They're beat up at running back. There's, you know, right now, Kansas State does have an identity. They can run the ball. They have a quarterback that's fearless and has proven every week that he's one of those guys that's very likable as a football player and as a leader. And so I think that Kansas State has the better identity as they head into this game, and that could be the reason they win it.
So this has been episode 11 of Running the Option. I'm Dave Consolazio alongside Sam Saig. As always, you can email me at VegasDavesDime@gmail.com.
And you can email me at SamSaig@gmail.com.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a great week.
Take care, everybody.